produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Paget.
Good day, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. I know that we go through circumstances in our lives where we don't really see the goodness of the Lord. We feel like, no, for how long will I suffer? You know, remember what David used to say, for how long will the wicked suffer? We say these things because we are not moved by faith, but we are moved by sight. All that we see, all that we observe, you know, can dishearten us. But I want to encourage you today, God is a provider. God is a provider. So when I say provider, He is an aid to every situation that you are faced with. If your heart is heavy, God will send His own true messengers to come and lift you up. If you don't have material things, you can mention them in your own context, but God is faithful. He will do you good. Whatever it is that is a challenge to you, God is a provider. I don't know how do you know God, but I know God to be a healer. I know God to be a deliverer. I know God to be my strength, to be my anchor. So I know God to be my shepherd. So when we read the book of Zechariah chapter 4, especially verse 6, you know, the angel of the Lord is confronting, is visiting Zechariah. But the scripture that I want us, the verse that I want us to focus on is where God says to Zechariah, Zechariah, is not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. You know, the angel is saying that to him. So I want to say to you, there are things that we started a day and we just neglected the invitation of the deity of God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We push the day and its expectations. And somewhere, somehow, we know when we left our workplaces on Friday or we left our homes or any environment on Fridays, things were not okay. But, you know, on Saturday and Sunday, we are caught up in a slumber. We forgot that we need to go back to the same and to that environment. So my challenge to you is, how did you start the day? Did you acknowledge that you won't be able to succeed because it's not by your might or not by your power? And do you also understand when people give you accolades, when people say you have done well, you are this person and celebrate you, are you aware that it's not you, but it's God? It's the Holy Spirit who's never given credit. The Holy Spirit who's always there to facilitate conversations through you, to facilitate learning through you. The Holy Spirit who gives you brilliant ideas. The Holy Spirit who becomes a mediator through your speech, through your mouth. The Holy Spirit who gives you creative ideas, the same ideas that God gave to Bezalel. The Holy Spirit who gives you strength, the same strength that was given to David when he was faced with Goliath. The Holy Spirit who gives you hope when Joseph was in the pit, you know, when the brother said, we are burying you with that destiny, the false dream that you had, intimidated by who he is. But the Holy Spirit was there. This is the Holy Spirit that when Daniel was in the den of the lion, the Holy Spirit gave him massive power to be able to deal with that lion. This is the Holy Spirit that gave Daniel wisdom to be able to interpret riddles. So we see the role of the Holy Spirit not being limited to help me to sleep at night, you know. The Holy Spirit plays a major role in our lives. We see the Holy Spirit in different government departments. The Department of Justice, the Holy Spirit is there to mediate, to vindicate, to pass judgment. There's the Department of Social Development. The Holy Spirit is there to honor those who have been sidelined, to honor those who are struggling, you know. The Holy Spirit is saying they deserve A, B, C, D. And I'm saying that to you because you might think certain things you have worked so hard. You tell people, no, I struggled for me to be where I am. I remember when I was in tertiary, you know, this is what I was eating, and today I'm in a better position. But unless the Lord builds the house, anyone who builds it in vain. In the book of Zechariah again, we hear God say, O Zerubbabel, unless I lay the foundation, you know. So the foundation has been laid by God. The foundation of your life, yes, characterized by challenges, doesn't imply that God is not there. It actually says God allowed certain things to happen to you. God allowed hardship to happen to you so that umandoza magathi hloniphi life, so that you respect life. You understand when somebody says, I don't have. You also say, I've learned to live a life of having and a life of not having. So when to have in abundance and when to live in scarcity. But if you don't know those things, how will you respect other human beings? If you don't know what it means to stay without airtime, if you don't know what to live without food, if you don't know what to live without a car, you know, what it means to have, not to have a spouse, what it means not to have a child, what it means not to have education, how then can you relate to life challenges? How then can you relate to those whom God has, you know, what designed to be your nation? Won't umuntu go through things so that you're able to encourage others? As a child, I've gone through stuff so that I'm able to encourage youth. As an educator, I was hard hit by policies of the education system, you know, the red tapes, the abuse, so that I'm able to encourage educators in my profession. As a woman, I've gone through things so that I'm able to speak sense to women who are bruised. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what journey are you currently faced with. It is because God is not doing it for your own sake, but God is saying, I'm doing it so that you understand the multiplier effect, the ripple effect that I'm talking about, that Jesus had to sacrifice his blood so that everybody gets to be called a Christian. Everybody gets to experience this grace, you know. So I don't know what is your responsibility, what is your task, but I'm calling you out of your slumber. Stop being selfish. Stop moaning and groaning about your situation and that God doesn't love you. You have been complaining a lot, but you are not performing. You know, you need to start doing. You need to move away from thinking. So I'm challenging you today, child of God. People are crying. People are moaning. People are depressed. People need you. And you cannot live in the absence of the Holy Spirit. So I'm challenging you. May you start asking the Holy Spirit those questions. Two teachers, there are learners in your classroom. They've got smiles on their faces. But those learners might not have anything in their stomach. Some of them, they are from broken families. Go back to your work environment. There are people, your staff members. Some of them, they might have a lipstick on. They are well-dressed. But they are going through stuff. They decided to wash that garment so that they are able to come to work. But I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Our neighbors, people that you see on a daily basis, driving cars coming in and out of their driveways, some of them, they are hard hit by debts. They're about to lose their houses, about to lose their cars. May the Holy Spirit help you to see your immediate environment. Some of you, you want to impact the global economy, but how can you impact the global economy if you cannot see your neighbor? The Bible says, love yourself as you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So it's not by might, it's not by power, but by your spirit. Kuzoba right. Every situation, everything that is making you to cry. You didn't sleep at night. Even today, you are still crying. Mamela, hotloba right. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. I just want to say I love you and I appreciate you. It's going to get better. May the good Lord do you good. Amen. Good morning, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. Yo. You know, if you don't know who this God is, if you haven't experienced him, my question is, why do you have his name tag? Why do you have the name tag of Christian? Why do you have the name tag of Jesus? Ooh-wee! Because I've seen God being the provider. I've seen God being the healer. I've seen God being the mediator. I've seen God being the protector. In all our daily struggles, I've never seen him failing. Hence David said, I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous man forsaken. I've never seen a righteous man forsaken. A righteous man is someone who says, Lord, when everything doesn't make sense, you are the only person that makes sense. Let me say this to you. He is faithful. Even when you need to pursue your purpose and you don't know exactly how to do that, he will certainly help you in the process. And how does he do that? When all that you have to do is to communicate what makes your heart sing. Communicate what this burden is all about on a daily basis. You know, I was talking to someone and she said, I see a burden in primary schools. I feel like young people do not have, you know, emotional support. And I said, if you see that and you're in a different industry, you need to ask God to help you navigate through those corridors. So when I say to you, sometimes it doesn't need you to go and study, but it only needs you to be at the right position where you're saying, God, can you just take me to another level? So God is faithful. That's what I want to tell you today. And I want to say to you, in the midst of all your challenges, you just have to rely on him. You just have to call upon his name. He's the only person that makes sense. And he will vindicate you where you need to be vindicated. And will restore you, will uplift you. You know, he says in Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, do not fear, do not be confounded, for I the Lord am with you. With my righteous right hand I will uphold you. So when somebody upholds you, it's like you are about to be drowned, you know. Like in Isaiah 43, though you go through mighty waters, you won't be drowned. You're about to be drowned, but he's there to lift you up. So I want to say to you, do not fear man. I don't know why is God reiterating this. My children are living under fear. My children are living under fear. As I was conversing with someone yesterday, she said, people are living under fear because they don't trust God. They don't believe that he exists. And I want to challenge you today. If you feel your faith has been challenged, you've got a wavering faith. I don't care how massive, you know, the demonic forces are in your life. But at the sound of the name Jesus, they will bow down. I'm telling you, every tongue will confess. And it needs you to be in the right position. It needs you to say, Daddy, I can't do it alone. I need you. This one that says, I need you, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. So he's going to do good to you. So protect that purpose. Don't share it with everyone. Remember, don't cast your pearls unto pigs. They'll trample on it. Other people, they will steal your ideas. Others will just delete, you know, the energies that you have. For you to pursue this thing, they'll say, no, it's not going to work. So I'm going to challenge you today, irrespective of how challenged you might be, I want you just to rise up from your ashes. In Isaiah 61, it says, I'll give you beauty for ashes, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Right now, you're heavily burdened. You are trying everything as the year begins. They're saying, I don't want to be ashamed when the year ends, because I haven't started actioning my purpose. But God is saying, do not worry. Come unto me. Come unto me, those that are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. So you are saying, I don't have the power. And God says in Isaiah 61, verse 1, he says to you, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, for the Lord has anointed you to preach the gospel, to set the captives free. So every career, every ministry that God has called you unto, that purpose, you are called to set the captives free, to say to those that are mourning, to give them beautiful ashes. You know, give them hope. If you are a nurse, you are there to give people hope. If you are a teacher, to say to those learners, you know what, there is a future. Do not look back, you know, do not look back and say, I didn't do well, or my parents are underprivileged, but look forward because there is a future. So I'm saying this, look forward because there is a future. So I'm challenging you today just to rely heavily on Him and not rely on any other thing. Hallelujah. And when He starts saying, no, I'm about to give up, He says, go Isaiah 60. Hey, arise, shine, for your light has come. So if your light is here, it means these are opportunities. These are people that are going to connect you to your next level. So who are these people? You need to ask for discernment. You need to ask God for discernment. Sometimes you are keeping people in your circle, and those people are not worth having your space. They're actually exhausting your energies. They're stealing from you. You know, they look at your life and they say, but this is not the way to go. But Jesus say, every day with me is sweeter than the day before. Ooh, praise Jesus. So I want to encourage you, whatever is overwhelming you today, it's not bigger than God. It's not bigger than God. People can scheme around you. People can make plots against you. And they might say, we are going to bring them down. We are going to bring him down. We are going to bring it down. Who are you? Because the creator is the blacksmith. That's why he says, I'm the blacksmith, and no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. No tongue raised against you shall stand. So all that you have to do is to refute the tongue, and be confident that whatsoever that you are faced with, there is a higher force. There is a higher force that is at work, you know. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you. If you don't know what to do, play your worship songs. Play your worship songs. Invite the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it doesn't mean we are not constantly confronted with battles, you know. Battles at night, during the day, in all seasons of our days, we are confronted with challenges, opposition. But you know, there is victory in every opposition. So don't die there. Don't die in Mara, a place of pain. Rise up, oh you daughter of Zion. Rise up, oh you son of Zion. In the name of Jesus, I'm declaring and I'm decreeing that your Friday will never be the same. You will reflect, and you reflect with purpose. You reflect with victory. You will say, the Lord has favored me. Praise Jesus. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you tomorrow. I want to encourage you for the next month, for the next year, that when everything doesn't make sense, remember God is the God of provision. I don't know how have you experienced Him. I've experienced Him to be a healer, a restorer, a deliverer, a provider. And I don't know how when I'm experiencing it. Over and above that, I want to say to you, the Holy Spirit is there, your comforter, your teacher, your intercessor. He's saying, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. So may you be blessed for the rest of the weekend. I will see you, or we will connect in the spirit from Monday. Stay blessed. Amen.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Litsolenyane, produced by Caleb Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Caleb Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to the listeners of Finding My Way Radio everywhere in the world. This is Apostle Jezile. Today we're going to talk about the importance of feeding our spirit. It is so very key that we are watchful of our spiritual diet, because if we want to grow, if we want to have a very a mature, strong, nutritious spirit, we must definitely watch our diet. Actually, we will know that we are actually in this mess that we are in now because of what we ate from the Garden of Eden, when the devil, in the form of a serpent, came to convince Eve to eat from a forbidden tree, so eat a forbidden fruit, and that led us to be in the chaos that we are in. But praise be to Jesus, who came and rescued us to such a mess. Let us find our foundational scriptures in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, in the King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." This is very key, like I said in my opening statement, that one of the things we need to know, which Christ himself has highlighted, is the issue of hunger and the issue of thirst. They play a very big role in a Christian life. They play a very, very important role in the life of a believer. Because if you have to go far, you must be fed well. If you have to go far, you must not be dehydrated. He addresses two things: issues of nutrition, issues of being fed for the road, issues of being well taken care of your liquids, which he equates it to test. We know water in the Bible equates to the Holy Spirit. Bread equates to Jesus Christ. So the true core of a Christian walk with God. You can never go far with God if you are not eating the Word of God. And who is the Word if it is not Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God? And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, and the Word become flesh. These are key things, because that which is spiritual is equated to what is natural. So there must be a very strong balance in a Christian life between what God has given us naturally to prophetically decode the spiritual issues or dimensions of what our natural realm is trying to communicate to us. No wonder the Bible says, and the nature is waiting for the true sons of God to be revealed, because there is so much spirit in nature, and there is so much nature in spirit. These things are more like hand in glove. Everybody has to know that when God created the universe, he made these visible things to depict to us the invisible things. So when Christ says, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger." In other words, Christ is saying, if you have to be strong in life, you must eat the bread of life. In John, again, he continues saying, "I am the life." But again, in John, he says, "I am the bread of life." That means there is life, and then there is the bread of life. So in order for you to enjoy life, in order for you to endure life, in order for you to survive life, you must not only have life, but you must also have that keeps you strong, which is the bread of life, Christ himself. He says, "He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." These are two things, taking you back to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent came to Eve, he tested him in issues of what must be eaten, because what you eat, it definitely informs who will you be. So Eve was tricky and deceived by the serpent when the serpent said to her, "You must eat the fruit, for God knows that on the day you eat, you shall be like him in knowing good and evil." So when we eat, there is a level of revelation that comes to us. But that which we eat is also equated to what shall be revealed to us. Because the devil says there is a food that when you eat, you become aware of what is evil and what is around you. And if that is the case, because we know There were two trees in the Garden of Eden. There was also the tree of life, which represented Christ. So in other words, then the devil can never point you to eat from that which will reveal the more of Christ in you. Whatever devil is projecting to you, revealing to you to eat, it has something to do with you feeding who he is in your life. Whatever you drink, it also reveals who he is in your life. Or if it does not reveal who he is in your life, it reveals who Christ is in your life. We can have a whole lot of examples. There is a whole lot of things that people drink. Some of such is the amount of liquor people consume, which tends to reveal who is in their heart. So what you eat or drink always reveals what is in you. Paul makes a powerful statement about eating and drinking. He says, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. There must be something that which we eat reveals. So today, and I want everybody everywhere as you are listening, when you read the Bible, you must have a revelation that you are feeding your spiritual man. So in other words, you need to be conscious of what you are consuming into your spiritual man. Will it make him strong or will it make him weak? The fact of the matter is that we have Christians who are truly malnutritioned when it comes to the word. They only rely and depend from the word that comes from the pulpit. From there, they don't even go home and verify the truth of what has been preached from the pulpit. That is why we need to be very, very aware that when the word is preached, let's make a follow-up to go see that which has been preached to us, that it comes from the word of God, because that's the food that will make or break us. So as we continue with this message, I want you to also look at Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was actually challenged with the issues of what must be eaten. When the eunuchs that was submitting to the king, Nebuchadnezzar of the time, came with a diet that was meant to be eaten by all young lads. But Daniel purposing in his heart, that is verse 18 of chapter 1, purposing in his heart, watching the delicacies that are on the king's table. Because you must understand that in the issues of nutrition, it's not important to be full. Because you can be full of the food that is not healthy. You can be full of the food that can make you have stomach cramps. You can be full of the food only to find that the food itself is poison. So what is very key about what you eat is not only to be full, but is also to understand what it does to you. Because there must be a change when you are on the right nutrition. Look at what these guys are saying to the eunuch, to King Nebuchadnezzar, say, give us 10 days. So in other words, when you are eating something nutritious, why should it take you 10 years to change? Why should it take you a lifetime to change? Because if it is so nutritious, it got to change you. And you are not the one who's going to say, look, I have changed. Your peers will testify that there is something about you. We all know if we have to take this practically, when you're on a special diet, those who last saw you having gained some weight, some pounds, kgs according to South Africa, you will find people noticing that because of the special diet that you are in, you have shed some pounds. And you don't have to say it. They will say themselves that, what is it that you are doing? We see that you have lost some weight in your life. Only then you are able to say to them, no, I'm on a special diet. So in other words, when you are on a special diet, it shows. When you're on a special diet, it does not only give you a good shape physically, it also gives you health physically. If feed on the word of God and remain the same. Christ says something profound in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, whosoever shall come and eat of this bread shall not hunger again. So in other words, some of the worldly things that we are hungry for can only be dealt with the word. Some of the worldly things that we are so thirsty and hungry for, that thirst cannot be quenched by the things that the world offers. It can only be quenched by what the word offers. We have a beautiful example in chapter 4 of John again, when Christ has a dialogue with the woman at the well of Jacob. When he comes and starts a dialogue with, where is your husband? And he says, I have no husband. He says, you have well said. That was the start of the dialogue. But the key thing in the dialogue is the issue of water. When Christ says, can you give me water that I may drink? And the Samaritan woman says, but you have nothing at all to get the water. Christ says, if you knew who asked water from you, you would actually ask water from him, because the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. Again, his revelation from above, Christ is saying that the move of this woman from one man to another man is a spiritual test that manifests with physical habits. So in other words, there can be physical habits that are actually pointing to your spiritual need. Remember that God is a God who is so full of grace and mercy. He will rather show up in your situation like he did to a Samaritan woman. So if we have to change our habits, if we have to change the way we look, if we have to change the way we speak, if we have to change our walk, we can only do it by taking our master's advice, who said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread that I am, you shall never hunger nor thirst again. We need that because we are hungry for so many things. We need that bread because we are hungry for the things that are destructive to us and our family. We need the water that Christ says he is, so that we do not thirst for the things that are destructive to us. We don't need to drink things that reveals our nakedness. We need to be sober at all times. I love, this is what Paul says about the issues of drinking. He says we must not be drunk by wine that is full of dissipation. We must rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also a contrast in that scripture. We must not be drunk with wine, but we must be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, therefore our quest and our thirst for other things is already quenched by the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are always filled with the Spirit of God and full with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. We need Christ in our life. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Without these two in our lives, we will be found wanting things after things, fashion, cars, houses, and everything else. Actually, I think now what the gospel has turned out to be, it has turned out to be about what we wear, and it has turned out to be about what we drive. It has turned out to be where we stay. And all these things are natural signs of a spiritual cry. This is the message that I'm bringing to you across, that to feel your thirst, to feel your hunger, we need Christ. This actually became the highest test, because Christ upgraded this message from bread to meat, because he had some point, he said to his disciples, if you want to be truly my disciples, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they say this is now too much of a teaching. And the rest left him. Only the revelator and the Peter kind of disciple was left with Christ with a revelation that where can we go from you? Because issues of life springs from you. So it is very key that as we walk with Christ, we are able to go from one dimension of maturity to another dimension of maturity. And the only thing that can help us is to feed in the Word of God. We've got to eat the Word of God. John says in the book of Revelation that I heard the word that says, eat the book. Eat is the book. And he says the book became bittersweet. We can no longer pick and choose what we need from the scriptures. We can have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speaking to our heart. If it rebukes us, we've got to repent. If it gives us a peck on the back, we've got to praise. But we can no longer pick and choose what suits us from the scriptures. We must taste the bitterness of it. We must also taste the sweetness of it. This is what Exodus chapter 12 deals with it. When Israel is about to leave Egypt, God commands them to prepare a Passover lamb. And he says, you must eat the whole lamb. Nothing must be left. And that lamb was referring to the Christ who will hang on the cross later. And later, this is the Christ who reveals himself as the bread of life. Remember that they were also commanded to make bread without leaven so that the bread stays fresh and stays longer. It is very key that the word we eat, we understand that it is for our sustenance. Remember when the word of God came to Elijah at some point and say, rise up and eat, for the road is so long. You must know that what you eat prepares you for the journey with the Lord. That is why you cannot compromise what you listen to. That is why you cannot compromise where and who prepares food for you. It is very key that you understand that the food you eat is going to prepare you for the road. We must understand that again, as we read our scripture in the basis and in doing justice to this topic, is that in the basis of what we eat, we are also preparing ourselves for a journey we do not know how long it is, only heaven knows. So in other words, whatever God provides for us, he knows that it is what we need for the journey. But having said that, as we mature in the Lord, we have also a responsibility to check what we are fed by those who are assigned to be the overseers of our souls. We must check. How do we check? Whenever a message is preached, one must go home and make a follow-up to it. Not just to criticize the message, but to make a follow-up until it sinks to your soul. I wish you hear what I'm saying. Not just go home to get a wet pen to keep what was said right and what was said wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but the major thing should be that let me go back and eat again so that it sinks in my soul. It rejuvenates my body and refreshes my spirit and prepares me for a journey ahead. We need to eat the word of God. We need to feed in the word of God, for it is the food for our soul, body, and spirit. When we fail to do so, we do no justice to ourselves, and we can blame nobody. Paul says, by now you ought to be eating meat, but you still need milk. In other words, these are dimensions of what we eat. These are dimensions of food, and this food provides us different nutrition for our spiritual walk with God. It is not fair that one at the stage where he's supposed to be eating meat, but he is still feeding and drinking milk. We must grow up. We must upgrade from what we eat, it would not be naturally correct, neither naturally accepted when a child forever feeds on milk and never go to solid food. By now, we need to be Christian in our churches that are ready for eating meat. Cannot again get offense from the word that came from the pulpit when you're no longer a milk Christian. You cannot be offended again by a prophecy that seeks to push you towards your destiny when you are no longer a milk Christian. Remember, meat requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have teeth. That is why as you grow, you develop teeth naturally. I wish that you also do the same spiritually, because the teeth actually are preparing you for solid food, because the teeth are a sign that your body is ready for something a little bit stronger than what you have been drinking. So you must also take notice that we move from drinking to eating. It is very imperative that the Christian must understand this dimension of food and the nutrition thereof, which are a symbol spiritually, that we move from drinking to eating. At some stage, we also mix drinking with eating, because these two also works for the easily digestion of what is fed in our spiritual life. We must grow. And as we grow, we also come to a dimension where our food is not only prepared by somebody else, but is also prepared by us. So we can no longer, as we mature spiritually, blame somebody else for our growth and maturity, because we must come from drinking to eating, from eating to prepare what we need to eat, not only rely on a Sunday sermon service that is going to be dished to us by our pastor. There is nothing wrong with that. But as we mature, we must come to a place where we are also eating food that is prepared by us. That is also even more powerful, because if you prepare food yourself, you know what goes to your pot and you know what comes out of your pot to your plate. So it's very key that as a child of God, we mature in these dimensions. We launch into the deep. We are no longer children tossed to and fro. We are now matured in issues of doctrine, that there is no devil from hell that can preach a powerful message. And we say amen, because we are not sure whether it is or it is not. We must be able to say a truth from hell is equal to a lie, because there comes a time, and that time is now, where false prophets are all over the world, and they don't just come empty-handed. They come with look-alike, real prophecies and miracles. But when you are matured enough, you don't get fascinated by such. The last dimension that I want to dish out is that as you mature, you choose the things you eat and you choose the places where you eat, because you are matured. It doesn't matter how nicely decorated the food can be and the plate can be. If you are not interested, you won't eat. That is the Daniel dimension, because I know for sure the delicacies from a king's table are truly the delicacies. But it takes a mature man to say, I'm not only looking for nice things, I'm also looking for nutritious things. May the good God bless you as you digest this message in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Wherever you are listening, I pray that the Lord will bless you, will multiply you, and expand your territory as we mature and grow together in the things of the Lord. Launch into the deep. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa, and welcome to this broadcast today. Brothers and sisters, we've been afforded this time again to share the Word of God with you, especially through this time where instead of people being conscious of the return of the Lord Jesus, they are conscious because of some virus that has struck the world and turned it upside down. But either way, God remains faithful nonetheless. Let us thank the Lord for this opportunity and thank the Lord for the hands that have provided this platform and those working on the background to make this possible. And you, our audience at home, who have tuned in to have devotion with us, we are thankful for you and your families. Please keep us in your prayers as we keep you as well in our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Brethren, in this time, why are we so prepared for some virus that has turned the world upside down, instead of being prepared for the return of the Lord? I love what one believer once posted on Facebook. They said, it's only fair to see if these so-called God's generals and all their merchandises to be put to the test, especially in such trial or times of trouble or trial. Now let their powers and the things that they claim to conquer be put to the test. And here's another thing I've seen on Facebook as well, which I found to be very mind-intriguing or thought-provoking. It said, if church is only relevant in good times, then it's not church. Because this is the time where we really need church, when the world is turned upside down. But you see, here's the thing. This all exposes those individuals who are more prepared and more ambassadors of the word being preached to be in quarantine or be quarantined and keep your hands washed. Those are fundamental things, washing your hands. But now keep your hands washed, sanitize them, and don't touch your face in public, and etc., etc. And now with the South African request from our president that no gathering of more than 99 people is allowed to take place. You see, with that being said, believers in Christ, here's the thing. These things were mentioned in the Bible. Wash your hands, you sinners, before you eat. How are we going to be told by the world what the Bible has already stated? But here's the thing. Besides that, why are we more prepared for this virus or more conscious of the virus than the return of the Lord Jesus? Because here's the thing, chances are, Lord Jesus might return long before we even find a solution to the end of this virus. And people are still not prepared. But either way, with that being said, let us open the Bible to the book of Matthew 25, and it reads as follows. And that the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins
who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. But the wise took flask. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delayed, they all began to nod off and they fell asleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, the bridegroom, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and put their lamps in order. But the foolish virgins said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, otherwise there will not be enough for us and for you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy oil for yourselves." But while they were going away to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast. And the door was shut and locked. Later, the other also came and said, "Lord, Lord, open for us." But he replied, "I assure you, I most solemnly say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, be on the alert, for you don't know the day nor the hour." The story is quite simple and straightforward. While you are prepared for all other things and you're preparing for your next investments, or you're preparing for this whole thing you call coronavirus and quarantine yourselves and stacking up 6 months worth of groceries and, you know, keeping yourself away from public places, how about your spiritual well-being above your physical well-being? Are you prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus? Are you prepared for the return of our Master? Do you have your soul intact? Do you have works that will be tested in the fire and will come out to be pleasing unto the Lord? Are you ready for the return of the Lord, that you shall hear the words, "Well done, you good and faithful servant"? Are you that person? Are you that person that heaven will share at their death, for an extra saint will be gained in heaven? Are you one of them? Or are you those who are going to, just like the rich fool who was in Hades, who's going to ask for Lazarus to dip his finger into water so that they can quench their thirst? Which of you are going to rest in eternal life, or forever be in Hades eternally? Which of you are prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus, and who actually labor for the Lord Jesus instead of for yourselves and for your families, but neglect the kingdom of the Lord Jesus, or the return of the Lord Jesus? Let's continue to read the book of Matthew 25, and we'll read from verse 14. "For it is just like a man who was about to take a journey, and he called his servants together and entrusted them with his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And then he went on his journey. The one who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he gained 5 more. Likewise, the one who had 2 gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came and brought him 5 more, saying, Master, you have entrusted to me 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. Also the one who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you have entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. The one who had received 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a harsh and demanding man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But the master answered him, You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter seed. Then you ought to put my money with the bankers, and at my return I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has the talents, for to everyone who has, more will be given and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away and thrown out. The worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How are you giving back or increasing from what the Lord Jesus has provided for you? How are you increasing in these talents called salvation? How many souls have you ministered to and won for the Lord with what the Lord Jesus has afforded unto you? Instead, you are ambassadors of this coronavirus instead of being ambassadors of Christ. How many of you are the servants of the 2 and the 5 talents? And how many of you are the servants of the 1 talent? Who, what the Lord Jesus has given unto you, you dig the ground and you bury your talent, or the talent, and do not increase what the Lord Jesus has given unto you. How many of you fall in that category? I advise you, brothers and sisters, I'm not saying do not be cognizant of the fact that you need to keep well hygienically for yourselves and your neighbors. Although here's the thing, go back to the word and obey the word of God. Now you're even told by the world to wash your hands, and whereas the Bible tells you to wash your hands, the Bible clearly states, before you eat, wash your hands. How fallen are you that you need to take instructions from the world? And the same world now that you take instructions from, you are now ambassador of it. instead of being an ambassador of Christ? How many souls have you won in the process? Or are you even saved or convinced that you're saved? Let's continue verse 31 of Matthew 25. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and majesty, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as shepherds separate his sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous one, or the righteous, will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invited you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The king will answer and say to them, I assuredly say to you, and most solemnly say to you, to the extent that you did it for the one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it for me. For then he will say to those on his left, "Leave me, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will reply to them, "Assuredly I say you, and most solemnly say to you, to the extent that you did not do it for the one of the least of these, you did not do it for me." Then these will go away into the eternal punishment, but those who are righteous and in right standing with God into eternal life. Now, there you have it. The word of Scripture stated that. How are you giving back to Christ what he gave unto you? How have you turned to being ambassadors of the world instead of ambassadors of Christ? And ministering to people in the process as ambassadors of Christ instead of being ambassadors of the world and seeking self-pleasure and your God being your stomach. You want to see what happens to those who their God is their stomach? Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 12, verse 16. It reads as follows. Just to show you, if your God is your stomach, let's see how it will end for you. If these scriptures from Matthew are not accurate enough. Then he told them a parable, saying, "There was a rich man whose land was very fertile and productive. And he began thinking to himself, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store up my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my storehouses and build larger ones, and I will store all my grain and my goods there. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things stored up for many years. Rest and relax. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. Now who will own all the things you have prepared?" So it is for the one who continues to store up and hoard possessions for himself and is not rich towards God. Excuse me. Let's end it there. You having abundance of things, abundance of health, abundance of material things, it is not for you, it is for the Lord. You need to give back to God. You need to be ambassadors of Christ with the health he has given unto you. Use it for the master and not for yourself. It was not given for you or to you to be done or to do your own will, but to do the Lord's will. Trust me when I tell you, God prefers the best. If you don't believe me, ask Cain and Abel. Abel gave out of his best, but Cain gave out of some of his proceedings. And God favored Abel more than he favored Cain. And this was obvious. That's why Cain felt jealous of his brother. And the jealous rage caused Cain to draw blood from Abel, which took his life from him. God prefers the best, believes in Christ. With that God has given you health, life, salvation, give back to him. This wealth has nothing to offer you. Yes, be cognizant of your personal hygiene. Although here's the thing, be ambassadors of Christ. Give back to God what he has given unto you. It will be worth your while. Give back to God what belongs to God.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chico Tu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Today, I want us to remind one another that we serve a mighty God, able God, unfailing God, and never changing God. Our topic for today says we serve God who never changes. When we read the word of God in Malachi 3, verse 6, it says that he is God, he does not change. We are living in the days where our enemy is trying on a daily basis to make a statement, that God has changed. But I want us to remind one another that God has not changed. He is still mighty. God is still able. God is still unfailing. God is still faithful. And he is still that God of Elijah, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham. He's still the same God, the one who it delivered his people before. He is the same God even in our generation. From the beginning of the time, God has not changed. Time changes, season changes, circumstances changes, people changes, and the economy changes, but God remains the same. When we read Hebrews 18, verse 8, the Word of God says He is the same yesterday. God is the same today. And God is still the same even forevermore. And I want us to remember this today, that even the challenges that we are facing, it does not mean that God has changed. He is still the same God. He is still able to deliver us. He is still able to save us. He is still able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that which we ask Him for. I want us to remember that God is still God. Sometimes when things we don't understand what's happening in our lives, we begin to wonder if God is still with us. And I want us to remember today that God is still with us. We must not have, we must not doubt that He is still with us. We must not have fear of tomorrow or fear of the challenges that we faced with. We must remember all the time that God is still God and He is a powerful God. When we read Colossians 1, verse 16 to 17, the Word of God says, "For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, everything we need to remember that exists because of God. We are nothing without Him. In Him, the Word of God says, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. So whatsoever things that are happening, even in our days, we need to remember and still trust that God, He is still God, and He has never changed. There are so many things that are happening in our lives on a daily basis, but whatsoever situation that you find yourself in, whatever challenge that you are faced with, do not forget that God is still the same God. He promised us in His Word that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. Whenever we go through deep waters, in Isaiah 43, He says when we go through deep waters, the waters will not overwhelm us. And we trust God, even if when situations around us, they want to prove otherwise. Let us continue to trust God because God is a faithful God even in our days. And the Word of God, when it carries on in Colossians 1, 16, 17, it says all things were created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creations together, meaning that God is in control. He is control of the heavens. He is in the control on the earth. He is in control above all other things. So whenever we go through difficult times, let us not forget that God, He is still an able God. Let us not forget that God is still able even in our days. The Word of God says that God is able and nothing is impossible with Him. When you read the Word of God in Luke 1:37, it says that everything with God is impossible. Sometimes our situation may seem to be impossible to us, but with God, there's nothing that is impossible with Him. He is still able to set us free. He is still able to save us. He is still able to come through for us. He is still God who's able to make a way. Like He said in Isaiah 43, verse 19, He is still God who can make a way in the wilderness. He is still God who can create rivers in the desert. He is still God who is unfailing. He is still God who is able to do things that we expect Him to do. God still delivers even in our days. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful Father. He is still the same God who keeps His covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let us continue to trust God. Let us continue to trust God like Job did. When we read the Word of God about Job, I have found that Job has trusted God through difficult times that he was faced with in his life. There are seasons that came into the Job's life, but I found that Job has been a man who trust God, who trusted God no matter what. There are times that came, the times that some of us were not going to be able to stand, but Job trusted God irrespective of whatever situation he found himself in. And when we read the Word of God, it tells us so much about him, and there are so many things and so many events that have happened in his life. But through it all, he remained firm, trusting in God. He trusted God when things were making sense in his life, and when things when they were not making sense in his life, Job refused to give up. Job refused to give in. Job continuously trusted God. There was a time where Job said, "My Redeemer liveth," and at the time when he was going through difficult times, he said, "My Redeemer lives." Not because everything was going perfect in his life, not because things were going perfect in his world, but because he trusted God irrespective of the situation he found himself in. When we read Psalms 125, the Word of God reminds us that those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. Which cannot be shaken. We need to trust God even in our days. There is so much that is happening in our own world. There are challenges that we are faced with. It might be a marital challenge. It might be children. It might be at work. It might be wherever that you live on daily basis. We are faced with different challenges, but in all challenges that we go through, we need to remind ourselves now and then to trust in the Lord, because the thing that when challenges come, and then we want now to forget, when challenges come, they come as if they want us to forget that we are serving a mighty God. Let us not forget that we are serving a powerful God who is still able to save us even in our time. The challenges and difficult times that we are facing, we need to hold on and trust in God. We need to hold on and do not let anything else to take away that kind of the relationship that you have between yourself and God. Like Job did, Job trusted in God. He trusted in God when things were going perfect in his life. He trusted in God when everything else around him was falling apart. But Job continuously trusted in God. He trusted in God when he received the news, when he received the bad news that all of his children died. Job still continued trusting in God. When Job heard all these bad reports, when we read Job 1, verse 20 to 21, the Word of God says that we see how he reacted. When he received the bad report about his children, when he received a bad report about his employees, when he received a bad report, Job, instead of reacting in another way, instead of blaming God, instead of questioning God, instead of asking God why, he took the time and his immediate reaction was to worship God first. So we need to learn that whenever we go through difficult times, let us not tend to think that God has left us, because God will never leave us and he will never forsake us. The Word of God in Numbers says that he is not a man that he should lie, and he's not a son of man to change his mind. So times changes and seasons changes and things are happening in our lives, but God remains the same. He is still faithful, and God can be trusted. He can be trusted to keep all his promises. God can be trusted even if situations seem as if God will never come through for us, but we need to believe that God is gonna come through for us. The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, it tells us that God is faithful. He keeps all his promises. The Word of God says, "For all the promises of God are yes, and they are amen." All the promises of God are yes in Christ, and so through him, the promises of God are amen. And we need to trust all his promises.
basis everything that he has spoken on his word over our lives. We need to trust that if God has said something, he's not going to change. He is in control. Things will come into our life, they will pass, but God will never change and he remains the same. He's unchanging. We need to trust God like Job did. Whenever he was faced with a difficult time, there is so much that happened. His wife said to him, he must curse God. But Job, because he knew the relationship that he had with God, he never cursed God because he trusted God on God's mighty power. We need to trust in God's abilities. We need to trust that God is able. We need to trust that God can deliver us. We need to trust that God, he can still come through for us even in our day and time. And we need to see him as a powerful God. We need to trust that even if the things are not going the way we are expecting them to go, but God is going to come through for us. And we need to trust in the Lord and trust in his mighty power and trust in that God, he is able and God will never change. He is an unfailing God. We have seen God coming through for Paul and Silas in time that was difficult, and when they were beaten and thrown into a cell room, the word of God tells us that instead of them looking at the pain and looking at the things that they were going through, they chose to rather praise God. They chose to rather focus on God. They chose to rather praise and worship God. Things that come through into our life, let us not allow them to take our focus away from God. Like David says in Psalms 121, that I will lift up my eyes unto the hills where my help comes from. My help cometh from the Lord. Let us also remind ourselves whenever we go and we face difficult times and challenges in our life, let us remember to focus on God and keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us not allow the enemy to take control. Let us not give him a room. Let us not allow him to whisper in our spirit. Let us not allow him to change us. Let us not allow him to tell us that God will not come through for us. In every situation that you find yourself in today, believe that God's supernatural power, God's power is able to reach you where you are. You don't have to go out and east, west, and start seeking for help. All we need to do, like the days of the old, we just need to kneel down and call upon the name of the living God and call upon him who is able to hear us. When we read Psalms 91, it tells us that whenever we call upon him, he will answer. He said that when we call him, he will answer, he will honor us, and he will deliver us. And the very same God who delivered the children of Israel, he is the same God who delivers even in our day and age. We should trust him no matter what comes our way. Let us not waver. Let us not allow the enemy to make us think that God is unable, to make us think that God cannot reach out to us, to make us think that God cannot come through for us. Let us trust God, even if situations may seem like, even if situations seem like impossible situations, but let us trust that God is an able God. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Our God is a faithful God all the time. He is not a man that he should lie or to change. Whatever that God has spoken over your life, whatever that God has promised over your life, it will come to pass. The word of God, when we read it, it says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. At times we don't understand the way he does things. We don't understand the way he controls things. We don't understand the way he wants to do things. But we should trust that God knows what is best for us. We should trust that God knows what is best for us all the time. God above each and everything, above us, above everyone living around us. It's only God who knows what is best for us. And He also knows a right time for us to receive that which we are asking Him for and we are hoping for. And sometimes because of that, we become so frustrated because God is not responding at the time that we are looking, we are expecting Him to respond. But even if God may delay, even if God may not give you an immediate answer, do not doubt. Stand firm on your ground. Stand firm on faith. Believe, have faith and trust God and believe Him and believe Him and believe Him and believe that He will come through for you at His right time. At times what frustrates us is expecting God to respond in a certain time, in certain ways.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel.
Napa Know How.
The Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.